Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Amy Comstock, the Director of the Office of Government Ethics. Well, Amy, what advice would you give to a young person who's interested in a career in public service?
Well, I actually, Paul, have to say that the first thing I want to say, because my husband is a high school teacher, is work hard, stay in school, and go to college. Beyond that, I'm real proud of my career in government service. I'm proud of the fact I still consider myself a career public servant, in spite of the fact that I am a presidential appointee. And I have to say that in the 13 years that I've been in the government now, I have seen so many instances where a person's personal interest, personal passion, hard work has allowed them to get a policy through, to affect a change in the government, to actually have an impact. So when I hear people espouse that the government is so big, it's such a large ship, it can never be turned around, that you know, what's the point of going there? You get lost in bureaucracy. I can't deny that that occurs. I mean, obviously, I've seen enough of that in government, too. But the fact is that that's not always the case. I've seen just as many instances where a person does come in, they do make a difference, their passion shows through in the work they do, and it has an effect. So I would encourage people, keep the government in mind as an option for your work, because it really can be an effective, exciting place to work.
Is there any set of skills you'd recommend they acquire?
Gosh, it really depends on what area they want to go in. I'm a big believer personally in a liberal arts education, because someone who can write well and who can speak well will always be able to argue their case and position very effectively.
Or how about somebody who's very interested in ethics, perhaps now as a result of this conversation, what skills should they be learning or acquiring?
Certainly that would be one where you'd want to write well. Someone who's interested in ethics, that's a really broad term. You can go back and talk about the philosophers. You can talk about codes of conduct, which a lot of corporations have. There are a lot of private organizations out there which are now working with private corporations or looking at ethics from the broader perspective and the impact in society. If anyone's interested in those, I would suggest they go on the internet. There's a lot of organizations that are dealing with ethics in the workplace now, or ethics and society.
Let's think a little bit about the future. What will be the future demands for ethics programs?
Well, I think that the demand should remain the same, and I hope it does. The mission in terms of, for government ethics, ensuring integrity and impartiality in government decision making, should always remain the same. I think how we achieve that may change over the years, and I hope it does, because there's a lot of benefit that we can achieve through technology. Currently, our system is very paper-based, and as I indicated earlier, people, for example, file an annual form. I think that I hoped that in 10 years, for example, that will not be the case anymore. I foresee the day where employees are able to go onto their computer and put in the asset, hopefully, because we run a prevention program, that they're thinking of buying, not that they've already bought, and determine if it's a problem, that they'll be able to instantaneously receive advice on a question about an outside position they want to take, or something related to that, post-employment question for our former employees. I really see kind of more immediate response. I do eventually believe, for example, that the public will be able to receive financial disclosure forms over the internet. I don't know if they'll, over email. Currently, it's a very paper-based system, but I think there's a lot we can do through technology.
Will there be any other benefits from technology that you can imagine other than replacing paper?
Well, certainly the instantaneous guidance is what I enjoy about the internet, is, you know, you basically can receive your information immediately. And the ethics program does not necessarily guarantee that now. In terms of conflict of interest guidance, review of financial disclosure forms, it's a much longer process right now, because it will travel from person to person. And I would like to see that. I foresee the day where that will be that will simply be already in the computer in terms of what problems are, and someone will receive instantaneous guidance. And that will prevent a lot of problems.
If it became easier, could we imagine a world in the future where lots more government employees participated in this process of disclosure, that it was rolled out much wider?
Well, currently we have 20,000 who file the public financial disclosure form now, but beyond that, there's, I believe it's 250,000, although I'd have to check that figure, Paul, who file a confidential financial disclosure form. These are public officials who are not at the level that it's been determined that the public really should be able to determine their own decision making, but they're still officials who have a lot of discretion in decision and have potential for conflicts. Of course, all of these people, I believe, are honest, good civil servants. But they file financial disclosure forms as well. But those forms are only reviewed by the ethics official to determine that there aren't conflicts. I don't know that we'll ever get to the point where more people than that need to file. But we may. But I think we've tried to cut it off at the people who already have the discretion, have the ability to have a conflict.
How do you think OG will evolve in the next 10 years?
Well, one other area where I think we will evolve and that also will be impacted by technology is training. The executive branch, as you know, actually has employees all over the world because the Department of State certainly has people at all sorts of embassies. Agriculture has people in all sorts of, in many parts of this country where there aren't large offices for the federal government. So another area where I see technology benefiting us is training. It does allow us for immediate interaction through the internet, conversations that are significantly improved over telephone conversations, but that are more, you know, face-to-face, interactive, but where people do not have to fly to a post that is, you know, to have a conversation with one or two people. So I am very excited about the opportunities that technology will give us in terms of reaching out to people individually, but without having to travel there. Because training will always be a very strong mission.
How important, or what are the characteristics of a good ethics program in an agency? I've heard it said that having strong leadership support for ethics is really key in having a program, and having all the other things, but without that leadership support, probably it'll be difficult for that message to be carried.
I think that's right. We all look to our leaders to see how they act and in terms of setting our own standard. But there's no doubt, there's many studies that show that the actions taken and the standards set by our leaders, by our CEOs, establish the culture for the agency. But I have to say that in the federal government, I think, as is often the case, it's more complicated than that. We certainly look to our leadership. We look to the president to establish the standards and the cabinet for ethical behavior, and that's an extremely important, influential statement. But in addition, quite frankly, we also look to the culture of the agency and to individual supervisors. One of the areas that I'm trying to focus on is to reach out, clearly to reach out to the highest level leaders, but also to reach out to the supervisors in all the agencies and ensure that they understand the importance of ethics and their role in ethics. Quite frankly, if an employee ever has a problem, a dilemma, and they walk into their boss's office and say, here's my dilemma, you know, where should I go with this? And the boss gives them an answer. For most of us, that is the answer. That's where they'll stop. So one of the things that I'm trying to do in terms of building on this leadership, the impact of leadership, is to include in our concept of leadership all the supervisors and managers in an agency and instill in them the highly influential role they have in establishing the ethical culture in the workplace.
What kind of conflicts or challenges result because of what you just said, that those are, in fact, the people you would turn to with issues, and if they're not perhaps enlightened?
Well, I don't know if it results in a conflict, but it certainly results in a challenge for us because our system, as I came to OGE, our system is to basically communicate through, as I said, the one person who's the designated agency ethics official in a large department like Treasury. You know, that one person, I then in the system as we're structured, I kind of expect that person to then filter down what I said into the incredible number of people who work at Treasury. The challenge is what I'm talking about is reaching out more directly to supervisors and instilling in them from us the sense of mission and ethical culture that we're talking about. We're working with HUD to establish a pilot project to reach out directly in terms of ethics training to the supervisors at HUD to address the issues that we're talking about. And I'm hoping that that pilot project will show that the kind of training we want to do for supervisors will be effective and become a part of the culture in the agency.
Well, Amy, I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you. Oh, and I do want to mention that if anyone is interested in more details about what the Office of Government Ethics does, they can go to our website, which is www.usoge.gov. And again, thank you for having me.
Great. Thanks a lot. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Amy Comstock, Director of the Office of Government Ethics. Be sure and visit us at the website, www.endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, and you can also get a transcript of today's interesting conversation. Once again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.